in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Thank you, Father. Colossians 4 verse 12. This is a very special edition. This is the last festival of fire for the first half of the year, and is ushering us into the second half of the year. I want you to see festival of fire as a prayer retreat for us. Yes, see it as a prayer retreat, and it is what clearing all your schedules for. It is worth it. We are not here because we don't have other things to do with our time. No. Bring the volume down a bit. We are not here because we don't have other things we could have spent our time doing today. We are here because we have come to know and understand and prioritize Festival of Fire above other things. Am I communicating? Because we have come to understand this is a prayer retreat. We have come to understand that programs like this don't always happen every day. Am I communicating? It's a lifetime opportunity. It's a divine opportunity to move your life and destiny forward, to make progress, to rise like an edifice, to refuel, to recharge, to refire, to reignite the fire, to rekindle the flames, the embers of. Am I communicating? It's a divine privilege. This is a mountain of encounters. This is a mountain of divine visitation. This is a mountain of fire and miracles. It's a mountain of transfiguration. Let me tell you something. I've said this before. Prayer changes you first before it changes things. And prayer changes you even more than it changes things in your favor. Listen, the person praying must first be transformed by the power of his prayer. There is metamorphosis that takes place when you pray. There is a transfiguration. In Mark chapter 9 verse 2, the Bible says Jesus took to the Mount of Transfiguration Peter, James, and John. And then as they prayed, watch this. After 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John, who became the pillar of the early church, and leaded them into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. The Greek word transfigured there is metamorphy, where they get the word metamorphosis. A complete, total change from inside out. Am I communicating? An irreversible change. You evolve into better and superior version of yourself. A new you emerges. Every time you spend quality time in prayer, you generate fire power that starts by transforming you. The ministry of that power you generate in prayer is that it will start its business with you. You are the primary person the power will start with. It will start changing you, transforming you to become better versions of yourself. A new you emerges. An upgraded version of you, an updated version of you, a more glorified version of you. You see, just like in the natural, Those of you that did biology, you did metamorphosis from egg. Look at the cycle from egg to larva, larva to pupa, pupa to the adult stage or imago stage. Can you see that the larva, if you look at the larva, what's the larva stage? Is it not that caterpillar or butterfly? Let's use butterfly for example. The larva stage of butterfly, is it not caterpillar they call it? Compare it to the adult butterfly with beautiful wings and all of that. Compare the two. Do they look alike? Eh? Do they look? But do you know it's the same life they have? The same life that caterpillar has is the same life that the butterfly has. The difference is what? The stage that they are in. Eh? So, butterfly, look at some characteristics of the larval stage. That's the caterpillar. Number one, caterpillar is ugly. But compare it to butterfly stage, the adult stage. That one is very beautiful. Number two, caterpillar is very destructive. Can you see how they eat up woods, eat up people's plants, masara, people that plant maize? All those farmers will complain that caterpillar have eaten it. Even wooden chairs, wooden equipment, wooden, anything wooden, facility, it can eat it up. So it's very destructive. It's a problem. But compare it to the larval caterpillar's butterfly stage, the adult stage. Is that one destructive? No. The larval stage, which is a caterpillar, is earthbound. Cannot fly, only moves on the ground. But look at the butterfly stage. It will spread its beautiful wings and fly. Am I communicating? But did you notice that it's the same life both of them have? Both the caterpillar and butterfly. The only difference is what? Metamorphosis. The stage that they are in. Now, your life, you may be at the larval stage of your own ongoing metamorphosis. It doesn't mean that nothing, listen, no matter how ugly your life appears to be right now, like that caterpillar, something beautiful can come out of it as long as you subscribe to the process of metamorphosis. As long as on a daily basis you are being transformed. As long as the metamorphosis process is still going on, nobody should conclude on you. Nobody should write you off. I say nobody should write you off. Am I communicating? When you understand what I'm explaining to you, listen. You will not be envious of anybody's result. You just subscribe to the ongoing metamorphosis that is taking place in your life. There is something beautiful that God wants to bring out of your life that the world has never seen. Am I communicating? You don't need to envy people's results, envy what they have or don't have. Just calm down. There is something about your life. There are results awaiting you as long as you keep what? Metamorphosing. You keep metamorphosing. No matter how ugly the situation of your life is, as long as that process is ongoing, I'm telling you, something beautiful is coming out of it. A beautiful version of you. A beautiful version of your destiny. A brand new you is imagined through this process of metamorphosis. Spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis. Am I communicating? This is how a brand new you emerges. The you that the world is waiting for to manifest. The you that the world have not seen before. A more glorified version of you. An upgraded version of you. An updated version of you. Thoroughly transformed. Through this process, superior version of yourself, better version of yourself begins to evolve. So there is an evolution of superior and better versions of yourself. That was what happened to Jesus on that mount. He was transfigured before them. Then give me Luke chapter 9 verse 29. Let's see what happened. That transfiguration process, that process of metamorphosis, that transformation that took place in the place of prayer. And as he prayed, this is Luke's account of the same thing we just read in Mark 9 verse 2. He said, as he prayed, oh, look, you may look normal, your life may look normal until you start praying. If you don't want your life to be ordinary, then embrace prayer as a lifestyle. If you want your life experience and your life journey to be supernatural, to be paranormal, not to be normal like those of normal men, normal mortal men, if you want to be different, then you must drink prayer like water. Am I communicating? As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, you see, and his raiment was white and glistering. Can you see? Can you see the transformation that is taking place here? The prayer power Jesus generated as he prayed, that power started its ministry or mission by first transforming Jesus, the person praying the prayer. So that's why I made that statement. The person praying must first be transformed by the power of his prayer. Before the power you are generating through prayer, before that power will change things in your favor positively, and it does change things, but before that happens, it will start by transforming you first. Even if you are having character problem, character flaws, anger problem, struggling with sexual immorality, lust, or you have problem with bitterness, unforgiveness, whatever character problem you have, I'm telling you, if you learn to spend time in prayer, generating enough firepower, you learn to tarry in God's presence, I'm telling you, the firepower generated will start by changing you. It will deal with that anger issue. It will deal with that lust. It will deal with that lying spirit. It will deal with whatever character problem you have. Am I communicating? You will be transformed to become more and more Christ-like. You become more and more like Christ in character, in charisma, in competence, in your conviction. Am I communicating? Through the process of this metamorphosis. Praise God. Prayer is a major agent of metamorphosis. Major one. We are transformed when we pray. You see, the you that came here and the you that will live here will not be the same version. Impossible. Impossible. The you that will be living here will be an upgraded, superior, better, transform, more glorified version of yourself. Are you listening? Is that Chibuzo I'm seeing? Oh, celebrate Chibuzo. Long time. Praise God. Hallelujah. We say fire is a transformer. Fire has transformative effect. It has transformative power. So, that transformation that results from fire power of prayer is what we call metamorphosis. It upgrades your life. Give me this in Amplified. I like the way Amplified put it. And as he prayed, okay, let's see the Amplified version. Luke 9:29. Thank you, Lord. And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance became altered. It became different. You see, there is always something different about men of prayer. There's this aura they carry. There's this invisible aura. You can't see it with this, your eyes, but you can sense it. There's this grace. They don't look the same like every other person. Even their voice, there's this authority in their voice. Their words are not ordinary. They are inundated with firepower. His countenance became altered, different, and his raiment became dazzling white. You see, flashing with the brilliance of lightning. You know, we said shining is a direct byproduct of burning, right? John the Baptist was a burning first and then a shining light. We said the shining is the result of the burning. So when you burn, you will shine. To shine, you must first burn. No burning, no shining. Am I communicating? So watch this. What was happening to Jesus here? He was shining with the glory of God. But we all know that before this shining took place, there was an internal combustion. There was a burning in the place of prayer. As he prayed, he was burning in the spirit. As he prayed, he was aglow with the spirit. He was aglow. It's called irradiance. He was irradiating the glory of God from within. There was a beaming forth. There was a shining forth of God's glory that was in his spirit. Am I communicating? The glory of God is in your spirit. It's locked up there. But it can beam forth. It can shine forth. When you learn to burn in the place of prayer, you generate firepower. And then that burning will result into shining. That was what happened to Jesus. As he prayed, as he was burning in the spirit with the fires of the Holy Ghost, he was aglow and then he began to shine. Am I communicating? Scientists tell us that life on earth is sustained by the sun. This sun. The earth, planet earth, cannot do without the sun. They can't do without the sun because look at the cycle. The air that animals breathe, including humans, the air, is a byproduct of photosynthesis. It's release, oxygen, release. This oxygen that we breathe in is released from what? Plant. Am I communicating? That's why the world is always worried. Scientists, agriculturists and all of that, environmentalists, they are always worried about global warming. And they are worried anytime all this deforestation and killing of plants and all of that, they are worried because they know that plants normally release oxygen as a byproduct of their own metabolism or photosynthesis. And plant cannot undergo photosynthesis without what? Sunlight. Sunlight is a major requirement for them to synthesize their food. So watch it. The plants depend on sunlight to undergo photosynthesis for them to make food and survive and not die. So without the sun, can there be photosynthesis? Can the plant make their food? And will they be able to make the byproduct called oxygen without the sun? Now, if they don't release oxygen, where will the animals, including humans, have oxygen to breathe? And can anybody survive for long without oxygen? So can you see that life on earth is sustained by the sun? And we said the sun is a burning ball of fire. The temperature of the sun at the surface is around 5,500 degrees Celsius, according to NASA. But inside the core is 15 million degrees Celsius. At the core. And you see, it's made up of so many gases. Helium, this one, that one, different gases, hydrogen. And there are so many thermonuclear reactions, nuclear fission taking place that is releasing enormous energy. Am I communicating? The sun at its core is 15 million degrees. So you can see that the shining of the sun is as a result of the internal combustion, the internal burning with fire. Those gases undergoing those nuclear fusion, releasing enormous amount of spiritual energy, amount of firepower. I say firepower. And then the thing is illuminating. So that even the earth is being illuminated by the sun. Even the light of the moon is not coming from the moon itself. It's coming from the sun. The moon is only shining by the reflection of the sun. light of the sun. But guess what? The Bible says in Malachi, he says, unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with what? Healing in his wings. I think it's Malachi 4. If you read verse, is it 3, 2? Just go down, you check it there. So if Jesus is called the Son of Righteousness, imagine how much fire he will have. If natural sun at its core is 15 million degrees Celsius, what of Jesus? Then in the book of Revelation, you will see where Apostle John said, I saw an angel standing in the sun. Human beings cannot dare the sun. But he said, I saw an angel. That means the angel is burning with more fire than the sun. Yes, now. I saw an angel standing in the sun. You don't know there are fire angels. The angels of fire. If an angel is hotter than the sun, how much more Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, with healing in his wings. And most times, not all the time, the healing anointing is like fire. It's like heat. Praise God. Malachi 4 verse 2. Unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. See, just like the earth is being sustained by the fire power coming from the sun, your entire life, it is fire that sustains it. Without fire power, your Christianity will be zero. It will be a flat failure. It is fire power that sustains Christianity. It is fire power that sustains even your destiny, your life, your death. Everything about you is being sustained by fire power. Nothing will work if your fire dies out. That's when Christianity becomes boring. That's when you start struggling to serve God. You start struggling to pray, struggling to come for meetings, go to church, struggling to read Bible. Bible will become like boring story book. It will become a very boring literature when you have lost fire. Am I communicating? Your entire Christianity is sustained by fire. That's why he said, be aglow with the Spirit fire. Be aglow, burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Because the enthusiasm, energy, and excitement you need for kingdom service, it will flow from burning fire. Praise God. I say praise God.
Hallelujah.
Manda barato savrakataya. Makilo vratila gabagido sefeleteya. Shakabatoza branda kapata. Is it not slothful in business? We refuse to be slothful in this business of prayer. We refuse to be slothful in this business of generating firepower. I was saying earlier, you know, there is civil engineering, right? There is mechanical engineering. We have students of engineering in the house. We are engineering students. Let me see your hand. We have, which one again? Electrical engineering. There is even building engineering, right? Is that building engineering? But do you know there is also prayer engineering? Yes, there is prayer engineering. You engineer your life, your destiny, through prayer. Engineer your future. Praise God. Oh, yes. You build spiritual infrastructure in the place of prayer that will carry the weight of your destiny. You see, God have shown me so many things about the future of AGMI. And then I realized we needed to pray more. We needed to pray more. See, let me tell you something. The greater and more glorious your future or destiny, the more the demonic opposition. Satan fight what he fears, and he fight the most what he fears the most. If the devil knows that you have a great destiny, I'm telling you, get ready for great oppositions. That's why you have to increase your firepower. That's why, listen, it's not enough to have a great destiny. You must pray it into manifestation. You must learn to pray, and pray seriously. Because listen, the spiritual energy you need to materialize that destiny or prophecy or vision, you will have to generate it in the place of prayer. I tell you that prophecies don't just find fulfillment automatically in this earth realm. They are very real. They are not a lie. Oh, it's very real in the realm of the spirit. Very true, very authentic. But when they are being transported from the realm of the spirit to this physical realm, am I communicating? That transportation, that importation requires spiritual energy. It requires spiritual energy. And it's in the place of prayer you generate that spiritual energy. For prophecies, visions, and promises of God to be materialized, for them to find expression in the earth realm, it requires spiritual energy. And James 5:16, Amplified Version, the B part, shows us how to generate this spiritual energy. He says the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. He's talking of dunamis power, explosive power, explosive power, miracle working power. This is how you generate spiritual energy. Because it's not enough that God has heard you in prayer. Listen. This is why you need to understand some dynamics about prayer. Prayer is not just God hearing you. It's beyond that. Do you understand? Let me surprise you. Do you know you can pray to God about something and God has heard and God have answered, but you've not seen the answer in this realm? So is the problem with God? If you pray according to God's will, according to his word, you pray in faith, you pray in the name of Jesus, you follow the rules of prayer, God will answer you and God will release the answer. But however, between the release of the answer and you seeing it manifesting in this realm, demons can oppose it. Demons can cause delay. There can be demonic interference. Remember the story of Daniel. Daniel prayed. He didn't see any answer. He added fasting. And we say fasting is a prayer booster. Is a prayer intensifier. Praise God. He added fasting for 21 days. Then finally, the answer showed up. And when Angel Gabriel that brought the answer met him, he said, he explained to Daniel what caused the delay. He said, from the very first time you set your heart to seek God in prayer, he said, your words were heard. You now understand what I'm explaining? That you can pray to God and God will answer you, yet you will not see the manifestation in this realm. Because the answers to your prayer don't just appear automatically in the earth realm. It requires spiritual energy to bring it. Hi, do you understand what I just explained? God have heard Daniel's prayer. God have answered, but Daniel was still waiting. He didn't see anything in this realm. Then Angel Gabriel explained to him. He said, when God heard your prayer and answered and released the answer, don't be distracted, listen to me. He said, when I was bringing the answer, I left the heavens of heaven, what many people call the third heaven, where the throne of God is. The moment I entered the second heaven, the prince of Persia, the demonic prince ruling the physical kingdom of Persia in the realm of the spirit, he waylaid me and detained me. And it was on legal grounds because I just trespassed into his territory. Which authority did the prince of Persia use? It's Adamic authority. Simple. Because remember, when Adam lost authority to Satan, dominion over the earth realm to Satan, Satan became the custodian of the authority over the earth realm. And you know, that Adamic authority is superior to angelic power. That Adamic authority over the earth realm is superior to angelic power. So that was what Satan used to detain the angel Gabriel. Are you getting me? That, why did you step into my territory just like that And remember, as at then, Jesus had not come. He had not died. He had not conquered Satan in hell. He had not collected our authority back. So what the angel, why the angel was detained was because the prince of Persia was using the authority that Satan got from Adam, that was transferred to Satan from Adam when Adam fell in the garden. He then used it to detain the angel. But thank God, Daniel did not stop prayer. He added fasting. So there was call. There was this reinforcement. He was calling for reinforcement. And that fasting made God to release Michael, the archangel over warfare. And Michael intervened. Praise God. He went and engaged the prince of Persia in warfare and then released Gabriel to go and take the answer to Daniel. So there was an ongoing, while Daniel was praying and fasting in the physical, there was an ongoing warfare in the realm of the spirit so that his answers will be released. That's why I said it takes spiritual power for even the answers that God have released to come to you in this realm. This is the mystery behind delays. This is the mystery behind the so-called unanswered prayer of many. This is the mystery behind delays and stagnation. What I just explained, as simple as it is. Because many people think prayer is just me talking to God and then God answer. And then they think that the answer will just automatically come to them in this realm. It's not always like that. Sometimes you have to engage in spiritual warfare. Most times you will have to generate enough firepower for you to materialize that prophecy, that vision. Am I communicating? This understanding is very crucial. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise God. So don't just receive prophecy and go to sleep doing nothing. No. Use it to fight. Use it to fight in prayer. Use it as a weapon of war. Am I communicating? Use it to do warfare. Those visions concerning your future, God is showing you, concerning his plans and purposes, they are not a lie. They are very true and authentic. But you have a part to play if you want them to find expression in the earth realm. You have a part to play in partnership with God. You must pray them to manifestation. You must enforce the will of God in the place of prayer. You see, it is through prayer we beg God's will in the earth realm. We also enforce his will. Are you getting me? Because there is an opposition from the kingdom of darkness. There is a devil. Is our legal opponent. Is our adversary. He has vowed that you will not become everything God has ordained for you to become. So you have to learn to fight. I said, to fulfill destiny, you must be a registered fighter. Those beautiful visions God is showing you concerning your life and destiny, you have to pray them to manifestation. And I said, the greater your destiny, the more you will need to pray. The more firepower you must generate to materialize it. Because the greater the destiny, the greater will be the demonic opposition. Satan does not fight things that are not precious. Remember, even Jesus, when Jesus was born, imagine, is there anybody with a greater destiny than Jesus? Because his destiny was so crucial. He was to bring salvation to the earth. He was to fulfill the messianic prophecies concerning him. He was to be the Messiah of the human race. But look at how the devil fought him. Jesus did not have birthday mates. Some of you have birthday mates. You know birthday mates? Those that they gave birth to you the same day. Tell me, who is Jesus' birthday mate? Satan killed all of them through Herod. Satan wanted to eliminate Jesus. Satan wanted to kill him because he heard the wise men that came from the east. They said, where is he that was born, the king of the Jews? We have seen his stars. These were occultic men, astrologers, jazz men. When they say wise men, it's not smartness. It's talking of spiritual wisdom. These people have access to the realm of the spirit. Of course, I'm talking of demonic wisdom here. They access the spirit realm. They were operating with demonic wisdom. And they could tell the signs from the sky, from the stars, from those celestial bodies. They could tell that this person has a great destiny. And that's what you see in the corrupted version of the zodiac. Some of you do all those things. Eh? They say, put your name. They will tell you which one. Don't do it, oh. It's demonic. Am I communicating? Don't do zodiac. Don't do all those zodiac signs. Before they tell you that your life is remaining 5 days, 3 seconds. Don't do those things. Some people even use it to look for relationship partner. Say, me, I am Leo. She is Capricorn. So we are not compatible. Instead of them, they will not read Bible. Look at you. Don't do those things. Am I communicating? So, they used demonic occultic power. They saw his greatness. And then they came to honor the greatness. Can you imagine? They even saw the greatness before the Jews. Many of the Jews. Before the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. The one that the greatness was born in their territory. They were so blind they couldn't see it. It took those wise men from the east. They came with honorarium. Seed of honor. Eh? We were not told how many wise men came, but we were told that they brought 3 different kinds of gifts: gold, silver, and frankincense. And from there, some people assume it must be 3 wise men. So even our Sunday school, they put 3 of them. The Bible did not say there are 3. The Bible only said they came with these kinds of gifts. Am I communicating? And then, before they came, in their search, trying to locate Bethlehem, Judah, where Jesus was born, they went to Herod, being the leader. And then he said, who is he that was born king of the Jews? We have come to worship him. When Herod heard that he is going to be king of the Jews, demons entered him. He said, what? You mean somebody will wrestle the dynasty of kingship from the Herod's family? Say, it's better I kill that baby now. He then used political sense. He was being political. He said, okay. He said, he called all those prophets. He said, please check the prophecy. Where is it that it has been prophesied? Where was it prophesied that the king of the Jews will be born? He said, you people should go and check. When you find him, please come back to me and bring me word. I also want to go and worship him, but he's lying. He wants to know the location so that he will go and kill the baby. But thank God, after those wise men honored Jesus, the angel of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord appeared to them and told them, don't go back to Herod. He has evil intention. He's going to kill the child. He said, take another route. Go back to your territory. Go back to your country. So they jilted Herod. They didn't go back to him. So when he realized they jilted him, he became angry and furious. And what was his solution? He said, go and check the location according to prophecy. He said, kill all the babies. He calculated the time that they came. Approximately, all the children, 2 years and below, kill them. Because that's like the age. So, there was weeping in Ramah. Rachel weeping for her children, for they are no more. The prophecy of Isaiah concerning Rachel weeping for her children was fulfilled. Negative prophecy. Do you know that before that wicked decree was given, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, the husband. He said, carry the mother and the baby. Run to Egypt. Remain there until I bring you words. He said, for Herod will seek this young child. He will seek to kill him. He will seek the child's life. And do you know, that was how Joseph and Mary carry baby Jesus and ran away from Herod, or else he would have killed the baby. Why was Satan fighting Jesus's destiny? Because it was great. Was it not the same thing that happened to Moses? Moses too did not have birthday meat, and Moses was a type of Jesus in the Old Testament. Both of them have a deliverance ministry. Jesus is to deliver. He says his name shall be called Jesus. He will deliver the people from their sin. Herod delivered God's bondage and captivity. Are you getting me? They named him Moses because he was drawn or delivered out of water so that he can deliver Israel from Egyptian bondage. By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. By a prophet was he preserved, and that prophet was Moses. Moses was born at a time that wicked King Pharaoh, that did not know Joseph, arose and gave a wicked decree that this is a strategy for us to deal with these Israelites that are multiplying like nonsense, like cockroach. He said, or else they will join our enemies and fight against us, and then they will be delivered from our land. They will gain their freedom. He said, come, let us deal wisely with them. Which kind of wisdom is that? Demonic wisdom. Let's deal wisely. And what was the wisdom there? He said, he called all the Egyptian midwives and all these traditional birth attendants. He said, anytime you help a Jew deliver a baby, if you see that it is a male child, kill him. If it is a female child, spear that one. That was the wisdom that the king said, let us deal wisely with them. And it was at that point Moses was born. Stop complaining about the circumstances of your birth. Satan is fighting you right from childhood because he knows you have a great destiny. You don't know that? If you notice that your life has too much warfare, too much spiritual warfare, congratulations. It's because you have a great destiny. But it's just that you must fight to, you must start drinking prayer like water. You must learn to pray, because Satan will never allow you fulfill that great destiny. The only way to put him where he belongs is that you too, you must arise from your slumber and be a registered fighter. You must be ready to fight spiritually. Because sometimes you will wonder, why is it that some of my friends, things are just smooth for them? My own is battle all the time. Even the normal things that happen to people that they don't need to pray. Me, I will need to pray, I will need to fast. Why is it like that? Congratulations. You have a great future. You have a glorious destiny. Satan is trying everything to fight tooth and nail to stop you. But will you allow him to stop you? No. Glory to God. Do you know that any road leading to important destination has plenty roadblocks? Are you aware? So if you are going to anywhere important, there will be plenty roadblocks. So you must come with firepower generated on the altar of prayer to break through all those roadblocks. Who has ever tried going to government house to see the governor of Plateau State? You've gone before? Anybody like that? Don't worry, you will go in Jesus' name. If you see the road to government house, to where the governor is, you will see plenty roadblocks. They will be stopping you on the road. Hey, you stop. All manner of security is there. Police, SSS. The worst one is Aso Villa, where the president is. If you attempt going to Aso Villa, you will see so many old roadblocks. DSS, SSS, soldiers, police, all manner of things. They will question you, they will search you, they will x-ray you to be sure you didn't carry anything to kill the president. Even your phone, everything, you wear ring, you drop the ring. There is a place you drop everything you came with. Your pocket must be empty. Am I communicating? Even your wristwatch, they don't trust it. Because on wristwatch is camera, you don't know. Technology has gone far. You've heard of time bomb before. Am I communicating? That's just to see precedent in Aso Villa. Why all those roadblocks? It's because the destination is important. It's because the destination is important. But any road that you just see no roadblock, the thing is just clear, 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 clear. Just know that the destination is not that important. So if your life is facing too many roadblocks, it's because where you are going is important. Let me tell you, neighbor, if your life, your destiny, journey has plenty roadblocks and opposition, it's because you are going to somewhere very important. It's because your destiny is great. Very great and glorious. Satan fight what he fears, and he fight the most what he fears the most about your life. Do you know, in one of my birthdays, I had this vision of the night. I had this prophetic dream, and then in that vision I saw myself. If I tell some of you now, you'll be surprised. You won't believe. You don't need to believe. If I tell you now, some of you will just be looking at me, and in your mind you will judge me based on this phase that we are in right now, and that's usually the problem. God was showing me a glimpse of where he was taking me to, and in that vision I saw myself with Dr. Paul Enenche, and Dr. Paul Enenche invited me as a guest speaker to come and speak in one of his conferences in Dunamis. So he went and picked me from the hotel. That's why I say, if I tell some of you, you will not believe. In your, because you will be using your small mind. Papa, this one. You understand? It's like that. I know. That's why I made that statement before I tell you the vision. So he came to pick me in the hotel and welcome me as one of the speakers he invited. And then he asked me whether I'm okay, I'm comfortable. I say yes. He said, can we go and see the venue? Because they are trying to mount the stage. You know, they are trying to repair one or two things, fix all those lights, and the choir were doing rehearsal. The conference is to start in the evening, and we went with him to the venue where all those things were taking place in the morning. And then he was then showing me, say, they've mounted the light. He was just telling me the preparations that have been made so far. And then look at the choir, they are rehearsing. He said, hope I'm okay. I say yes. And then we then entered the car, and then we went back. He took me back to the hotel. He said, man of God, we are expecting to receive so much. We'll see in the evening. Now, if you have vision like that, you can't just be eating food and waking up. Because God, now listen, I'm not telling you to clap. God is trying to show me a picture of where he's taking me to. And that means I need to pray more. I need to be more serious. Are you getting me? Because the devil will not just fold his hand and watch me become everything God has ordained for me to become. Are you listening? I had another vision. In this one, I was a medical student, in fact, when I had this one. I will never forget. It was a large conference, and the guest speaker in that conference was Pastor E.A. Adeboye. Bring me these two seats. Bring me these two seats. These two red seats. Very fast. Bring them. Keep them here. Pastor E.A. Adeboye, everybody was waiting for him. And there were so many ministers, men of God, prophets, apostles, bishops, all manner in attendance. They were in the front row, heavyweight men of God that people know. But Pastor E. Adeboye is the guest speaker. Everybody was waiting for him. And there was these two royal seats close to the altar like this that he was to come and sit. One of the seats is for him. I don't know whether it's him and his wife. The two seats were similar. It was him everybody was waiting for. Then at the time I just noticed Pastor E. Adeboye then walked in. Praise God. He then walked in, and then he then came, and then he sat at his seat like this, and everybody was looking at him. And then it was time for him to minister, and then he came up, held the mic, and then he looked at the congregation. He then looked and located me somewhere at the back. You understand? I was seated somewhere at the back. You understand? Who knew me among those in front? Nobody will even give me space. He located me. These were general overseers, heavyweight men of God in front. He then located me and said, I should come. And then I came. He then looked at me and smiled. He hugged me. He said, I should sit on his seat. I felt like a chicken, like rat. I said, no, sir. I said, I cannot sit. I said, that's your seat. He said, no, he's telling me to sit there. I said, me and him, we started arguing. It was like argument. I felt too unworthy. I said, I should sit on that seat. I said, no, sir. He then looked at me, became angry. He said, I'm commanding you to sit on that seat. He said, will you obey me? I said, yes, sir. And then I sat down. Then he went and sat on the second one. And that was how, as I sat on his seat like this, me and him were seated like this. And then the men of God that were in front were looking at me with anger. I was literally reading what they were saying in their mind. Now, who is this small boy? How dare you? You know, they were very angry with me. You don't know, there are some height God will take you that your enemies will not be sinners. Your enemies will not even be believers. It will be fellow men of God. You don't know? Ah! There are some... Oh! You can take the chairs, but I just wanted you to illustrate what I saw. Now, you see, all this, God is just showing me some clips of the future. I've seen some meetings, AGMI meetings in the future. See, ba? Ah! People have not seen power. People have not seen power. See, the dimension of power God showed me that is going to manifest through this ministry. Some of them say, I just kept my mouth like this. I cannot tell some people. Do you know? Okay, I'll tell you only one. Only one. That's why I say people have not seen power. Hey, we pray. We've not even started praying. We are trying to start. Because we have to pray these things to manifestation. I've seen the future of this ministry. AGMI is an end time move of God. It's not just another ministry. No. Praise God. HMI is not another ministry. So, one of those ministries. Like Pastor Nenku was saying that when plateau people hear ministry, they become angry. I think there was another lady in this ministry that shared with me that her parents, they don't want to hear anything called ministry. Once they hear ministry, they don't ever go there. Because some people have, through their negative actions and some prophet suddenly, they have given ministry bad name in this city. I'm telling you the truth, in this state. Yes. And sometimes you don't blame those people that have bad impression about ministries. It's because of some of the experiences they have had with some of these ministries. Of course, that are either not of God or they are in error, but not AGMI. I say we are different. Some people think that we suck blood here, as if this is like an occultic center, you know, the kind of all manner of things in people's head. So out of love for their children, don't go there sooner than Anjanu. Rather, they don't know that we kill Anjenu here by fire. Are you getting me? No Anjenu can survive here. So some people have given ministry bad name in this town. But we'll correct those impressions. AGMI is an end time move of the Spirit. AGMI is a global, transgenerational, multi-stream move of God. It's a multi-stream movement. That's why it's an avalanche of glory ministries, in plural, not ministry. It's a global, multi-stream movement. We are only privileged to champion this divine cause. Am I communicating? I have no business doing ministry if God had not called me. Do you know? I will just be gently doing my medical practice. I'll be giving patient injection, doing my surgery, earning fat salary. You understand? I didn't come into ministry because I'm hungry. I'm looking for what to eat. No. God called me. And he sent me. And he sent us. And if God send us, nobody can unsend us. And if anybody stand on our way, trailer go crush you. Are you getting me? The God that called us and sent us is backing us up. If you vow to stop us, you die. It's as simple as that. You just die. It's like hugging a transformer. Trying to stop us is like what? Hugging a transformer. That's suicide. We are unstoppable. Let me show you one, tell you one of the vision of our future meetings I saw. And I believe it won't be too long. I saw the presence and power of God so strong that I saw something. I saw people being suspended in the air like this. Not one, not two, several people. Those kind of manifestations of the Spirit and power. That's people being suspended in the air in our meetings. I'm not aware of any meeting that thing is happening like that currently on it. Or have you heard of any meeting like that? The power of God carried people, kept them in the air, suspending them severally like that. That kind of manifestation of the Spirit. Have you seen it? That was what I saw in the future, in that vision. I said, God, what is this? And then the Lord told me that he's going to manifest his power through this ministry in a way that the world has never seen. I'm telling you the truth. That was what God told me. You know, there are different kinds of ministries, but and this is an apostolic ministry, and there are different thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just reminded me something again. He said, one of the things that will characterize AGMI, one of the miracles that will become so common that even normal people in the ministry, as in you are not a pastor, you are not even a leader, they will be performing that kind of miracle, is raising the dead. The Holy Spirit just told me now. He just reminded, he had told me before, but he just reminded, some of you have seen it in your vision. Raising the dead will become so common in this ministry and among our people, like curing headache and catarrh. I'm telling you. It's true. It's true. In one of my birthday, I think 2 years ago, year before last, I was in government house. Governor Lalong invited me, former governor now. Then he was the governor. We sat on a chair and he started telling me all the problems of leadership and governance in Plateau and was asking for my opinion on what he should do. He was asking for my counsel, begging me to help him. You see, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we were praying, the Lord just told me something not too long. He said, the government of this land, as in Plateau State, as in politics and governance, he said the government of this land is connected to this altar. That was what I heard the Lord told me. He said we should not joke with what we are doing, including this festival of fire. He said because the destiny, as in the prophetic destiny of Plateau State, including the politics and governance, he said is connected to this blazing altar of fire. I told you the church is a spiritual arm of government. There is a physical one that we see, the judiciary, the legislative, the executive. But there is an invisible arm of government that people don't see. It's the church. We make spiritual legislation. We make decrees, prophetic decrees. We decide what happens. Are you getting me? We decide what happens. Paratuse frende ke paladia. We decide what happens. Are you listening? We must learn to pray. Some people are wondering, why is it that all the prophecy about Nigerian presidential election failed? If you've been coming to AGMI, you won't be asking that question. If you've been listening to all the teachings I've been doing about prophecies, about activating prophecies, you won't be asking that question. It takes spiritual energy to materialize prophecies. Are you getting me? Just some few weeks to the May 29, before Tinubu was sworn in as president, I had a vision, and then the Lord told me, in that vision I saw Peter Obi, and then the Lord told me something. He said, the church have stopped praying for him after the election result, and after all those drama. People became discouraged, people gave up. The way they were praying before, with the fervency and tempo before the election, after the result and all of that, everything went down. And because the church stopped praying, that was why that inauguration happened. If not, it was not supposed to happen. The Lord told me that. He said the church went on break. Christians stopped praying because of discouragement. They gave up in their mind. They forget that the will of God, something can be God's will, but it can face demonic confrontation and opposition. When God told Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Did Pharaoh let them go the first time? Talk to me. Was it God that spoke to Moses? Was Moses doing the will of God? Did God send him? But did Pharaoh respond first time? Did he respond second time? But did you notice Moses kept insisting? He kept going. It was after those 10 plagues, Pharaoh had no choice. So sometimes, listen, something can be God's will, but it takes continual insistence in the place of prayer to enforce that will of God. Are you getting me? Obviously, there is no doubt Peter Obi was God's will. It's still God's will to be president for Nigeria. But as you can see, the church went on break and became discouraged just because of one or two opposition from the kingdom of darkness. Sometimes you have to keep hitting. I preach a message, the battering rams of intercession. Can you remember that message? You have to keep battering. God can tell you, go, I've given something to you. You'll be shocked that you will go. They will tell you a big no. But what should you do? Will you start questioning, oh, did I hear God well? Was he really God? It was God. Oh, you were thinking the devil will fold his hand and give you free of charge. No, Satan will try to oppose you. So don't take that no for an answer. I say don't take that no for an answer. If something is God's will and you know it is God's will, if the devil or people tell you no, don't take no for an answer. That's where you should start praying and increase your prayer, your firepower. Increase your prayer power. Don't take no for an answer. Keep insisting in prayer. Persevere in prayer. Are you getting me? Until you get the note of victory. Sometimes it takes hours. Sometimes it takes days. Sometimes it takes months. Sometimes it takes years. The Lord told me this presidential, what? He said it's not over yet. It's just that the church needs to wake up and support Peter Obi. It's not over yet. It's not. It's just that many people have given up in their mind prematurely. It's not over yet. But he needs the prayer backing and support of the church for the will of God to be enforced, God's perfect will. You know, there is a permissive will of God, then there is a perfect will of God. If the church throw in the towel and give up, then we will remain with God's permissive will for another 8 years. We'll suffer for nothing. The choice is all ours to make. Are you getting the point? Something can be ordained by God, but demonic opposition can make it not to be if you don't learn to fight in the place of prayer to enforce that will of God. Are you getting me? You can enter into a prophetic season that certain things are supposed to happen, but you can experience delays if you don't learn how to fight in the place of prayer to enforce that will of God. Are you getting the point? That's very important. So already some people are beginning to say, all those men of God that prophesy Peter Obi will be bred, they are false. Then you don't really understand some things if you talk like that. They are not false. The prophecies were very genuine. It's just that some of them and some people are suffering from what I call spiritual ignorance. They don't know that there are things to do to enforce the will of God. There are things to do to activate prophecies into manifestation in the earth realm. They don't just find automatic fulfillment. You war with them. Am I communicating? You war with them. You war with them. Praise God. For instance, God can give you a word. I've given you that job. You've been praying for a job. I've given you that job. And then you went for an interview and they bounce you. And then you now say, did God lie to me? No, God did not lie to you. You learn to fight. Use that word to fight. Keep insisting on what God told you. Don't lose faith in what God told you. The same kind of thing happened to Jesus. If Satan could oppose Jesus, who are you that he will not oppose? Are you greater than Jesus? Watch this. They came and told Jesus, watch this. Your son, your friend Lazarus is sick, nigh unto death. And guess what Jesus said? This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God to be revealed. Do you know Satan heard what Jesus said and killed Lazarus? Now if, watch this. Is that not like a contradiction? So will you not say Jesus was a fake prophet or he didn't hear God well? Are you getting me? That's why I said the same kind of thing happened to Jesus too. But Jesus, he was a spiritual man. He understood those dynamics. He didn't give up. Jesus did not even doubt what God told him initially. When he came to the tomb of Lazarus, he said, Father, I thank thee because you have heard me. He didn't say, why you Allah? I thought I prayed. Father, why did you let my hand down? Why you fall my hand? Is that what Jesus said? Father, I said, you will not die. Father, do something. Father, let the man of God not be disgraced. Is that what Jesus said? See, let me tell you something. You must learn to fight the good fight of faith. Whatever God have told you is still valid, is forever valid, it is true. It is settled forever in heaven. But it's your responsibility to partner with God to settle it on earth. You must stand your ground in faith. You must learn to fight in the place of prayer. Keep insisting until you see the manifestation. Jesus fought the good fight of it. He said, Father, thank you because you have heard me. And then he said, roll away the stone. He said, Lazarus, comfort. And he that was dead came out bound hand and foot. He said, loose him and let him go. Who had the last laugh? Jesus. Satan thought he won initially. Sometimes the devil may appear to be winning in the initial part of the journey. Destiny is like a marathon. You know, most marathon race, the people that are carrying first after three rounds, they don't end up winning. Are you aware? Most of the time, the real winners that have developed stamina, you will see them reserving their energy. So they don't care. They will be the last. After the first round, they will just be jogging small, small. Second round, they are still last. Those that are not wise will be using all their energy to run the initial round. But them, they know that this is not 100 meter dash. It's a marathon race. And you know, destiny is a marathon race. Then maybe one or two rounds to the end, that's when they will now, the energy that they have been reserving and conserving, they will start releasing it. They will start sprinting. They will pass one, pass two, pass three. Before you know, at the end, after the final race, they are first. Because they have developed staying power. Sometimes the devil will appear to be winning. Calm down. Fight the good fight of faith. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Sometimes some people will tell you, God spoke to me about this exam that I'm going to get an A. I was very sure when the result came, even this evanusi. Is it that I did not hear God well? I better check. Is there wax in my ear? Let me remove the wax. No. God did not lie. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. You must learn to stand on his word. You must learn to persevere in prayer. Jesus spake a parable, Luke 18 verse 1. Unto them, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to give up. You must not give up. You must learn to fight in the place of prayer. You learn to persist in prayer. Carry that word God told you. Carry that prophecy. Carry those visions. Use them as weapons of war. Use them to fight well. I say use them to fight well. I say use them to fight well. What are those prophecies that have been spoken over you? Carry them. Use them to fight in prayer. There are some kind of prayer I fight. I go back to my journal. I start reading out those prophecies God has given me. Concerning my life, concerning our ministry, concerning my family. I start reading them out. I use them to fight. Are you getting me? To enforce them. When our Father in the Lord came, Reverend Duncan Gomwok, there were some prophets. I keep going back to that message that he preached. There are some heavy prophecies he released over me and over us. I carry those words and start prophesying with the prophets. Am I communicating? He said, use them to fight well. So you don't carry pack prophecies and use them as pillow you put and then you lie on them doing nothing. No. You don't sit down and watch and wish that they will come to pass. No. Use them to fight. As a Christian, we are soldiers. There are no CCs in God's army. We are soldiers of the Lord. All the ladies in this ministry, they know how to fight. except you have not been consistent. I'm not talking of those that are one leg in, one leg out. Mm-mm. Those that are consistent, that are actively serving God here, they know how to fight. We have trained them and we are still training them. If Esther was not trained in the art of warfare, how would she have undergone 3 days dry fasting with her mates in order to upturn that wicked plot by Haman? Am I communicating? To kill all the Jews, including Esther. So, you have to be trained. He said, blessed be God who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. God trained David in the backside of the desert in the art of warfare, so he could kill the lion, he could kill the bear, and when Goliath roared its ugly head, he removed the head. You have been trained in the art of war. I say you are being trained in the art of war. Or is it when you marry? That's when you want to start learning how to pray, how to fight spiritually. Is that what you want to? Yeah. I once told you a story of a man that married a lady, beautiful girl, fine like Mami Wata, brother in church, you know, and then after the whole wedding reception, everybody is happy, they escort you to the hotel room or wherever you want to do honeymoon, and then you say bye bye, everybody go your way. You carry his wife, went, enter hotel room, now it's time for action, and then they came to bed and touched his wife. A demon just spoke through her. She belongs to me. What? But thank God the brother has been trained in the art of warfare. If it were some men, even some of you here, you will run out of that room. You will never come back again. You just go straight. You carry phone. Pastor, I beg, where are you right now? I'm coming to your office. I'm coming to your house. There is a crisis. There is fire on the mountain. Some of you will have run. You will run out of that hotel. You will never come back to that room. But what did this brother do? The brother is somebody on fire for God. He has been trained. The brother said, what? He said, nonsense, devil. He said, where were you when I paid bride price? So where were you? When I pay bride price, after suffering to pay bride price, all the while, how many years of courtship? He said, if you don't, the brother just switched to tongues and started blasting in tongues and casted out that devil. And then his wife was fine. You understand? And then enjoyed himself. And the demon never came back again. See, if you don't learn, if you are not trained in the art of war, what will you do? What will you do? A man of God, mighty, with a mighty healing miracle ministry. He said one day, he just noticed his daughter just went paralyzed like that. 4 or 5 year old daughter just went paralyzed, just like that. Like joke, they carried her to the hospital. Then the doctor said, it's one incurable medical disease. What? And the daughter will never walk again, medically speaking. The man of God said, thank you, doctor. Carried his daughter back and started fighting. Because he knew that it's a spiritual problem. Started fighting. He will be speaking God's word to her every day. Calling her name. You will walk, you will run, you will jump. You will blast in tongue. Him and his wife, they were doing that. Then after, is it several months, or I've forgotten the period, one day the daughter just stood up and started walking. That was a spiritual attack. Imagine if he was not trained in the art of warfare. This bread and butter Christianity will not take you anywhere. Sit down and be trained as a military personnel. We are soldiers. He said, as soldiers, endure what? Hardness. As a good soldier. You know, there are good soldiers, there are bad soldiers. Don't become a bad soldier of Christ. Be a good soldier. Learn to fight in the place of prayer. I think it was Pastor Korede Komaya that was dying of chronic liver disease. The doctor gave him 6 months. Prognosis, 6 months. As in, after 6 months, he's gone. He said at that point, his faith had died. He didn't have faith again. He couldn't even muster any faith. He looked at his wife in the eyes. He said, "Darling, you have tried for me." He said, "After I am dead, feel free to marry anybody of your choice." He had already given up in his mind, though. And then his wife looked at him. Said, "I didn't marry you to die." Said, "No way, you are not going anywhere." The wife kept insisting and started praying and started speaking God's word over him. He said, even him that his faith had died, resurrected. Imagine if his wife was not well trained. She would have ended up as a widow. Are you getting me? You learn to fight. There was one day my wife was pregnant then with baby love. She then told me that she has not heard the baby move. See, she has not heard the baby move throughout today. And me with my doctor mind. When they say baby no move for almost a day, you as a doctor, there is this fear because of your medical knowledge. Your brain will start calculating all the possible things that could be wrong. Are you getting me? Because you've been taught all those things in medical school. What could be wrong with the baby? The baby don't die. I've been how? Make you no die. All those things. You understand? Fear attacked my mind small. Are you getting me? I didn't answer my wife. I didn't tell her anything. She slept. And I waited till 12 midnight. I told you, when I have serious business, 12 midnight, that's when I handle it. And I started addressing the problem. I started praying. I prayed until I got the note of victory and I slept. And when I slept, I saw baby love. She was around 4 years in my dream. She was running to me, "Daddy," and then I carried her like this. So when I woke up, my wife then told me, "I told you I didn't hear baby move yesterday, and you didn't do anything. You didn't say anything." I said, "Now I can talk." Are you getting me? I told her, "No problem. She is fine. Are you getting me? You learn to fight in the place of prayer. You learn to fight. I told you that in this earth realm, it's not only the kingdom of God that is here. The kingdom of darkness is also here. And we say the power of darkness is when light refuses to do anything. Yes. Satan will always rule and reign and continue to do so unopposed until a greater than he shows up, until a superior power is in manifestation, until the kingdom of light shines its light. Are you getting me? One day, Gabriel, can you pray in tongues under the sound of your voice? Pray in tongues. Go ahead and pray in the spirit. Go ahead and pray in the spirit. Radiko sovradi. Evegeteke bregeteke bregete. Jelefonde si borasi barakatai. Embrakato zevrida kaparakata. The greater the destiny, the greater the opposition, and the greater the need for prayer. Radiko seveletiza brandekebo. Can you rise to your feet? Rise to your feet. Jelefura si pura sida ha branda gavagada gavagada akapatoze gidas androboko sefelete Jeketiko Bregedi, refuse to be discouraged by those problems, challenges you are going through. They are only indicators. They are only telling you a message that you have a glorious destiny. You have a Ashila Bakatai. There is a bright future ahead of you. And that glorious destiny is threatening the enemy. Your future is a threat to the devil and his kingdom. Your glorious destiny, your bright future is a threat to the enemy. And that is why they will try everything within their power to stop you. They will oppose you tooth and nail. But you have to arise as a priest of God. You have to arise with the power of the Holy Ghost. You have to arise in the place of prayer. Jesus spake a parable unto them in Luke chapter 81 verse 1. 18 verse 1. Luke 18 verse 1. He spake a parable to this end that men ought always to pray.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Salon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.